The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Radio Row in Las Vegas, Nevada. Pacquiao, Bradley. And we got some other stuff to discuss, too. It's a Thursday edition of The Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on from Las Vegas for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the master, back in studio, keeping us on air. Our buddy Michael Pearson taking care of us out here at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is the number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. It's 713-780-3776, and it's a Thursday. Weekend's almost here. We're in a great mood because we're in Las Vegas. Hopefully
That's
you
right.
guys are, too. Let's have some fun today. Okay, what the hell happened at the beginning there? I'm sitting here talking to you, and then all of a sudden you're having...
You were talking to me. I had one, as usual, I had one ear in, on
yeah.
my headset and one off, so I can have a discussion with you and listen to the feed.
Right.
You had your headphones laying on the table. So you
so the show just started
saying, "Hey, let's go."
Oh,
and so I made a quick call. I don't know if it was the right call. It may have been a huge error for me to open the show.
No, I think it worked perfectly.
But I think we can overcome it, even if it was a mistake.
Well,
I think
all I know is I looked at my computer and it said 3:59. So that's why I didn't have my headphones on yet.
Gotcha.
That's my
John's
fault.
Starting us early. That's all. He's trying to milk us. Well, trying to get those extra hours out of us.
I'm going to take full responsibility for this mistake. And
that's good, because I didn't want to take any.
I apologize profusely.
Thank
Although,
you.
Yeah, Pearson's sitting right across from me. He could have waved to me and said, put your headphones
on. I accept your apology, Fred.
713-780-3776. So, we're out here for the Pacquiao-Bradley fight. So, I'm sure we'll have lots of guests over the next 2 days. And so, we'll be talking about that a lot. And I'm sure we'll have some guests today, although I have not heard anything yet.
It's an exciting week in Vegas, I must say. It is. Last night was the big grand opening of the new arena, and everyone was excited about it. And the Killers played, and Wayne Newton played. And, Fred, you and I got VIP access to the new stadium.
We did.
And where was Mike Pearson? Mr. I want to go out and be seen and see and be seen. He wants to be out amongst all the big stars. While you and I were drinking with Wayne Newton, where was Mike Pearson?
I was
you were
in
asleep,
my
weren't you?
I was in my hotel room looking for the WGN channel.
For
but
what?
They don't have to watch the show Underground.
You don't have a DVR at home? You don't have TiVo?
I want to see it. It comes on Wednesdays. I'm in tune. So
I
had a little cigar. And I just covered the Final Four.
Okay.
From head to toe.
These are the
so
kind
my body,
of, the,
I hit a wall.
The thing we went to last night is the kind of thing that you're always trying to drag me to. And I
not
say,
Wayne Newton, no.
No, I mean, he just happened to be there.
Yeah, this was the after party.
I know.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, you understand
Order Killers, too. That's probably
that's why
like tonight.
You're out
tonight, Nicki Minaj put me down.
It's so funny, and I'm noticing the makeup of the city of Las Vegas. The Killers, obviously, they're from Las Vegas, so it was a big deal for them to be the openers. Wayne Newton's Mr. Las Vegas, so he was there as well. We were talking last night about how the show last night was completely sold out. The show tonight with Nicki Minaj, who else is playing with her? Do you know?
I forgot the opening up.
Ariana Grande.
Yes,
yeah. Ariana Grande.
Yeah. Ariana Grande. Yeah.
So that there's tons of tickets available, and I started thinking it's because, and it'd be the exact opposite in Houston. It's because of the makeup of the ethnicities in this city. There's not as many black people here. I'm noticing that. And that's why the Nicki Minaj show is going to be a half-full stadium. And Wayne Newton, only white people like Wayne Newton and the Killers, that show was full.
And Guns N' Roses is completely
Roses
sold out, too.
Sold out. Black people ain't trying to see Guns N' Roses.
That's true.
See, you're wanting to say that I'm wrong.
No.
But you realize I'm right.
Look, you're right, brother.
You know I'm right.
It's just that...
they make you a minority out here, Mike Pierce.
We just rather spend our money elsewhere.
That's why...
I'm not saying it's the right thing, but...
Yesterday, when we got off the plane, Fred and Mike and I all traveled together. I wisely sat behind Fred because I know he's not a seat recliner.
You totally outplayed me on the plane. Because he figured out the one way to guarantee that someone wouldn't recline on him by sitting behind me.
Yeah, I knew Fred wouldn't sit. He wouldn't lean his seat back on me, so I sat behind him. He did not lean his seat on me, and so Mike Pearson and Fred and I we start to get off the plane. There's terrible plane etiquette as usual. The ladies that were behind me, I'm almost at the back of the plane. I'm like four or five rows from the back. The ladies that are like two or three rows from the back get up and like make a charge to the front. And I start thinking, man, maybe they got a connecting flight. Either way, it's kind of rude.
Yeah, if you have a connecting flight, just kind of tell people in front of you. And they'll be nice enough to let you go up there.
We finally get off the plane. Those chicks that were like bulldozering their way to the front, they're just standing there at the gate, just standing there, talking. Like it was such a hurry to get off the plane. Anyway, we get our bags, and we go outside to the cab line. And, again, it's Fred, myself, and Mike traveling together. Two white men and one black man. And they direct Fred and I to a cab. And then the guy says, "How many with you, sir?" to Mike. He tried to segregate Mike from us. He thought that we wouldn't travel with a black man. And I told the officer, I said, "Oh, it's all three of us together.
He's with me."
It was a white cop. I had to tell Mike, "Listen, white officer, this black guy is with me. He's under my protection. Whatever you want to try to accuse."
Whoa, wait a minute.
Whatever you want to try to
underground?
Unjustly accuse him of, I'm telling you, don't pick him. So I feel like we avoided trouble last night, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you were riding alone, it would have been bad.
That's true. So,
but
now
listen,
you have a good show.
Sometimes
I can produce it from over here.
One day the tides will turn, and I'm going to need your protection.
So that's why you did it.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how it should. That's what. That's what friends of different races do for each other.
You know what? Last night, I don't recall getting a text from either one of you saying, "Hey, we're going to a VIP after party."
You didn't.
Wow.
Because I didn't know where we were going until we got there.
Yeah, it was a last-minute thing.
I know.
Because we went from the poker room to there.
I know.
And I know you don't like to play cards.
And how many feet is it from the MGM to the new arena?
We weren't at the MGM.
No, you were. How many feet? How far is it from the MGM to the new arena?
It's a hall. I mean, it's
like
across
a 15-minute walk, 20-minute walk. Right. You could have made it.
Yeah, thank you.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I apologize.
I probably wouldn't have went.
But. I didn't think you were going to come anyway. And it was pretty late. By the time we got there, it was 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Right,
and it's Vegas. And that's late for Vegas?
What time were you
that's
in bed?
That's dinner time.
What time
in
were
Vegas.
You in bed, bro?
11.
What do you want me to do? You're saying it's dinner time, you're sleeping. That means you're sleeping you're sleeping before dinner time.
So instead of apologizing, you're going to make excuses.
No,
on
I already apologized. I already apologized.
Okay, cool.
I was getting back to the fact that one day we're going to go to a city where the white people are the minority, and I'm going to need to fall under your umbrella of protection. And I hope that you acknowledge, you know, that there's give and take in this relationship, right?
When we go to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, one day,
I will need your help.
You'll need my help, yeah.
When we go to the Super Bowl in Minnesota, you will need my help.
Very true.
You know, that's just the way it is.
And Super Bowl in Detroit?
I'll need your help.
Gotcha.
That's why I love working with you, Mike. You understand.
I have to say, last night was probably as much fun as I've had in Vegas in a long time, and that includes not cashing in two tournaments, which I'm a little frustrated because I feel like I'm playing out of my mind. I feel like you're playing really well, and we're just having the worst luck at the worst times. It's not even funny. Well, it is funny, But the best part of last night was we're playing a little tournament at Mandalay, and I got to say, Hoffman, you were in rare form, and especially when this guy shows up at the table. And
I like to make jokes at the poker table. I like to
keep the mood light. As hell last night. I'm not going
to
lie.
I like to keep the mood light.
It would have made a great segment for the show to just record that and then bleep it out.
Oh,
of course.
Oh man!
But this guy comes to the table and starts complaining because a player had his cell phone on the table.
Like, this is a guy who just sat down.
Yeah,
they hadn't played a hand yet. Hadn't even gotten his first cards yet. Yeah. And the guy's cell phone was sitting in his drink holder.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people do that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But he was implying that the guy was taking pictures with it. And that would help, by the way.
And it wasn't like, excuse me, sir, can we take the phone off the table or point it a different direction? It was, hey, I'm going to need you to get that phone out of there. Yeah, you can't have your phone there.
I thought he was joking at first.
I thought so, too, but then he was dead serious. And by the way, you can have your phone there if you want. I mean, there's no, at least in Mandalay, different places have different rules. But there you're allowed to have your phone on the table. And he's like, well, I kept making jokes about it.
Yeah.
And he said, see, what's great about you is you have no idea what you're talking about. He said, I work with a lot of three-letter agencies, the FBI, the CIA. I know what people are capable of. And I let it go at this point, but all I'm thinking is, I'm sure that this guy had a grand plan to come to Las Vegas on a Wednesday night and to steal our $65 entry to this tournament. It was this guy came from Russia, I'm sure. Actually, he was Asian, so yeah. He could have come from China. To come over here just to get our $65, or North Korea even, Fred, he could have been.
Yeah, could have been.
He could have been a North Korean, and he wanted our $65 buy-ins. And this guy was there to make sure he didn't get it because I didn't know what people were capable of.
Yeah. And what was the word he used? It wasn't ignorant, but it was something to that effect.
It was something like that. I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, but needless to say, Hoffman pulled a Hoffman on him and basically started yelling at the other guy to not put it, to take his shirt off and stuff like that, that he can't do that at the table. It was very funny. I really wish I'd recorded it. But we did that, and then we went over and checked out that new arena, which is fantastic. We got to see it from we got to go to a party over there afterwards because some friends of mine work with the arena. And so we got invited, went in, checked it out, had a blast, and just a really good time. The only negative so far, other than not winning any money yet, was when I got to my room. I mean, it reeked of weed. I mean, reeked.
Did that get taken care of?
Well, they came and they sprayed it.
What did they do, Febreze it?
Yeah, and it was fine, except the bathroom was still bad. So I had to call them again this morning to fix that. And all I could think of was, my wife's coming in tonight. If I don't get this fixed, I know exactly what she's going to think.
Right.
That I've been smoking in the room, which I would not do. And that would probably get me in trouble. But that's it, man. No glitches so far. It's been fun. Other than the start of the show, which is on me. Jong, I apologize to you, the people, and all of America for that. All right. The only negative to being out of town is not being able to sleep on my mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. And spring's in the air. It's time to clear out the bed mites, dust and all. And you start with a custom-fitted, handcrafted bed made right there in Houston with Texas Mattress Makers. I can tell you from personal experience just how important it is to get the right bed custom fitted for you. And now Texas Mattress Makers makes huge spring savings available. Check this out. The queen pillow top sets start as low as $245. They normally retail around $479. The king size, now $349 at the factory, where you would spend at least $680 elsewhere. The great thing about Texas Mattress Makers is they make them right there at the factory and sell them directly to you. If you go to a retail store, you got to pay their markup, and that's why you're going to save at least 50%. Guaranteed at Texas Mattress Makers. All different feels, soft, firm, hard. It all depends on how you sleep. Start your spring cleaning today. Out with the old, in with the new. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. Guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com or visit at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Tell them I sent you. With a
thousand eyes and a good sky, a right between me. ESPN 97.5.
What up, son? Word.
Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Las Vegas. And I need to do a little shout out to my friends at GetMe. I took that's the first time I used them going to the airport. That is a solid service, man. If you've been using Uber or Lyft, give these guys a try. They're Texas based. They are, I mean, extremely cool. They'll also deliver stuff for you. And you can follow them on Twitter at GetMe_Houston. But I'm going to be using these guys quite a bit from now on. So, whoops. Now we've lost your microphone. This is that's not good.
That's all right.
There we Mike's go.
He'll take care of it.
Yeah.
How was the show yesterday, John? What happened?
It was good. Why?
I was just curious how things went. We weren't there. What do you mean, why?
Oh, no. I thought it sounded, you made it sound like something happened or there was
no
bad feedback.
I didn't get to hear any of it. I was on an airplane. I was curious how it went. I just wanted you to say, oh, it went great.
It was good.
Jerome did a good job.
You know, it's not for an AJ, but, you know, Jerome was good.
Of course not. Good. We don't want anybody doing better than us.
Yeah, that's if that's the case, at any point, they're not invited back.
How was the other guy?
Oh, MK? I like MK.
Okay. And did Lauren come as well?
Yes, she did. She sat in for about an hour, and she had Jerome asked her a few things, and she contributed.
All right. How come she's never sat in with us?
She did one time.
Did she?
Yeah, not it was just a segment.
I mean, since she finished interning.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to ask her that.
How'd she do, Jong? She all right?
I think she was a little nervous, but I think she did fine.
Okay. Okay. That's the good thing about me is I'm good at making people not feel nervous when they're on the radio.
Unless they're female or really large or a little off or have a speech impediment or I think that covers it.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN is your number. If they stutter, yeah, I'm just, you know. Squandrel says, been listening for years, never won anything. Yesterday you guys are out and I win a gift card. What are the odds? Congratulations.
We set that up for you, bro.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, we actually set the phones so that we knew when you would dial, that it would automatically set your number to be whatever number they said. How's that?
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. You're, Mike Fiers will not throw a no-hitter today.
No.
Astros are up 3-2. Home runs for Tyler White and Preston Tucker.
All right.
For the Astros. And it's 3-2 in the third. We did not get to talk about yesterday's game, but it's kind of funny that Lamont mentioned that we McHugh'd the intro. I don't think it was that bad.
That's not cool.
No, that was more of a it was more of like giving up a couple of home runs in the first inning and you're down 3-0. That wasn't a McHugh effort. But yeah, these kind of things happen early in the season.
I don't think our ERA is in the hundreds.
No. And I think we've recovered nicely from that.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
I think that's more like Dallas Keuchel gave up 2 runs early and then just nailed it the rest of the way. I think that's where we are.
Yeah.
We're going to do that today. I feel good about that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Okay, I guess it's a big story that the Broncos talked to Johnny Manziel.
Of course it is.
However, it appears, at least according to most reports, that it was just Kubiak kind of checking in with him.
I can't picture a scenario where Gary Kubiak says, yeah, let's bring John Football in. There's almost zero chance of that.
You talk about a guy that could destroy what you have there. I mean, you need a guy who's not going to screw up, right?
Right.
What does he do on and off the field?
He's a screw-up.
Yeah. According to Adam Schefter said it on SportsCenter that they had spoke about him being a potential fit for the roster, but Mike Kliss of News 9 in Denver said Broncos have no plans to sign Manziel and has not been discussed. Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak has relationship with Manziel as Texas A&M alums. Kubiak checked in with the QB after his release from Cleveland. And apparently various other reports.
Was this like an Aggie old buddy, old pal?
Yeah.
Like, let me do you a favor and
Well, it sounds like it was an A&M thing. It just
has to be.
Yeah, I mean, they both played football there too, and it's, you know, it's probably
it's the A&M quarterback buddy club.
Yeah. 713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I mean, that's common. I mean, if you know, we needed a if Michael Pearson needed a job, and you know, I'm sure he would talk to some guys at other stations that he worked with before, especially Los Angeles guys. I think that's what he would do.
I know he would.
Yeah,
he's looking to bail on us.
I know he is. You're gonna wind up back in LA.
It's because I didn't send him the text last night.
Yeah, no, that's probably on me too because I'm the one who got invited, and I should have texted him and said, "Come join us." But so I that's two things I've screwed up already. Screwed up the beginning of the show, and I screwed up by not inviting you last night. Nick says, "I just called, and the guy said it's best not to do calls." Yeah, it's really hard for us. We're on the remote, so the best thing to do is
you
text,
want tweet us.
Yeah,
you know,
tweet us or text us. Or use the Facebook page. That's the best thing to do. And apologize for that, but it's just really hard. So we'll have to see if we can get RJ. Let me ask if we get RJ on longer since we're out here. You know, he did one time he came in and talked to us in person.
Yep.
And did more than a segment. And one of these days we'll do that. I don't know if we'll be able to do it this trip, but we have to set it up with him. But, yeah, a couple people have said the same thing. So, yeah, sorry. That's... It really, if there's something really pressing and awesome, we can try it. But I just think it never sounds good. We can barely hear you, and it just doesn't work, especially when we're out here. Some remotes we can actually pull it off. But I think if you're the Broncos, there's nothing wrong with talking to the guy and giving him some advice. But there's no way you can bring that guy in under any circumstances. I mean, there's no unless. It would just be dumb. I'm sorry. Did you see, you know what? I need to do a Masters update for the people. That's what I need to do.
Okay.
John, can I have the music, please? I should have warned you about this. We'll start off with Ernie Els. Started off the tournament with a 10 on the first hole.
Ernie Els had a 10?
Ernie Els.
That's not great.
A 7 putt for Ernie Els.
Oh, I got to see the highlight of this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, that's so great. You can't beat that.
No. No, that is the greatest thing ever. Jordan Spieth tops the leaderboard at -6. That's it. That's enough for the update.
Okay.
The guy getting a 10 in the leader.
Jordan Spieth playing very well.
Yeah, we did not get our stuff done, did we?
We did not.
I know, what are the odds either the Texans or Astros disappoint like the Rockets did this season? That's always possible, man.
Yeah.
I think the Astros are going to be fine. I don't know if they'll get where they were last year, but I don't think they're going to fall off the map or anything. The Rockets have fallen off the map.
Yeah.
That's another...
I mean, that's a pretty epic collapse. That's hard to do.
John said the putt was absolutely comical. It looked like him out there. Does that make you feel better if you're kind of just a casual golfer? Does it make you feel better?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm sure I know I've 7-putted before.
Oh, I'm sure I have.
But usually after about 5, I just pick up my ball and pretend like the last one went in. That's usually what I do. So I probably haven't 7-putted in real life. But I probably have picked it up after 5 and just said, yeah, we counted that last one. That was in.
Yeah. I do have the full leaderboard here, but I don't think people care.
Nobody cares on Thursday.
No, it doesn't mean anything. It's like the first game of baseball season. But
it's way too early.
But Jason Day is 5-under through 14.
Stop it. Stop.
I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to doing the golf thing.
You just like to do the voice with the music.
Yeah, like quiet voice.
You don't even care about the actual golf.
No, I really don't. Lamont says, you guys are slacking on for 26 minutes and have yet to freak out over J.J. Watt's retirement.
Well, does anybody think J.J. Watt's retiring?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
At some point today, I want to talk about freaking out about the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, could argue one of the biggest games of the year tonight.
We talk
Spurs
about that
at Warriors.
We talk about that when we come back.
But the Warriors are now sort of...
Actually, you know what we're going to have when we come back?
I know exactly who we're going to have. Bob Arum, I'm going to sit down with you. Fred, I'll sit with you. AJ, I'll sit with you. This black is going to have to leave. Mike Pearson, you're going to have to leave when I come. I don't want to be around you.
All right.
We'll make the most of it.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here in Las Vegas, and we are joined now by legendary boxing promoter, Top Rank, Bob Arum. Mr. Arum, always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Pleasure to be on.
50 years in the business, right? You just celebrated the anniversary of it.
Right. March 29th, 1966 was my first fight.
That was Ali, correct?
Ali and Shivalo in Toronto, Canada.
My goodness, 50 years. You must have seen some things over that time.
Yeah, you do in 50 years. All around the world. It's been a great, great trip. And, you know, I'm happy to be here today promoting my man Manny Pacquiao against my other fighter, Timothy Bradley, in what should be a terrific fight.
When you saw Manny Pacquiao the first time, I mean, did you know that Manny Pacquiao would turn into the phenomenon that he is?
No, he looked terrible. He had another promoter, and HBO asked me to put him on a card headlined by, of all people, Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather was fighting Jesus Chavez, and... Manny fought a guy named Acapito Sanchez, who was the dirtiest fighter going, and the fight was called because of a cut at the end of four rounds or so. It was terrible. I didn't think Manny was very much at all. And, you know, I learned differently when I started promoting him, and as the years and fights went on, he is a tremendous warrior and very exciting fighter. But my initial impression of him was, what's all the buzz about?
What's Manny meant to boxing? More importantly, what's he meant to you?
Well, to me, it's been great. You know, I've been fortunate that I promoted some of the real important, wonderful people in my life, like starting with Muhammad Ali, going on to Big George Foreman, marvelous Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray, and Tommy Hearns, and Roberto Duran. I've been very, very fortunate to have the opportunity to promote Manny for over 10 years and to get to know the Philippine people, and for the Philippine people to know me. That's something that's really special. I mean, I can't say enough about Pacquiao, and I can't say enough about the Philippine people. For me, it's all the same. They're just a very, very kind, wonderful people.
When Manny Pacquiao made his comments about gays, what was going through your mind? I mean, obviously, you want a marketable guy. You want somebody that everybody's going to be. Manny Pacquiao has always been that guy that makes people smile. Suddenly, there was a lot of people up in arms about Manny. What were your thoughts when you heard what he said?
Well, the first thing was that whoever said it, whether it's Manny or anybody else, the comments were abhorrent. You know, you don't look at other people that way. For me, for most thinking people, people's choices are their own, and they're entitled to them. And we all know many gay and lesbian people who are very, very productive in society. And the fact that they have that lifestyle is not something that you demean them for. Now, Manny, I really believe, didn't intend to do that. He's a very religious person, and if he had just said, look, my religious belief is that I can't support same-sex marriage, well, that's okay. That's his religious belief, and you leave it at that. But then when he started making these analogies and quoting out of context verses from the Bible, it really was hurtful to people, and I can't condone that.
Bob, how do you think this fight's going to play out Saturday night? You got two guys who are familiar with each other, obviously. How do you see it going?
See, that's the trap you fall into. Two guys familiar with each other. Bradley is familiar with Manny Pacquiao. He knows Manny Pacquiao's style, and to that extent, that comment is correct. Pacquiao has no idea of the Bradley that he's going to be facing on Saturday night, because it's a different Bradley, because Atlas has gotten into Bradley's head. And, you know, Atlas is a psychologist. Every good coach is a psychologist. And what that means is that most athletes think they're performing at 100%, but they really aren't. And a good psychologist, a good coach, gets the athlete to actually perform at 100%, which is a step above what he's been used to performing. So you could see that with Bradley in the Brandon Rios fight, where suddenly he became a dangerous fighter, going to the body and knocking Rios out, which is not easy, with a body shot. So I think that Manny is going to experience a different Tim Bradley. Whether that's enough to beat him, I don't know. But it's going to be a very, very close fight. Look, I'm a promoter, so I sell fights, right? That's what I'm here for. I'm in to get people interested in the fight. But the race and sports book, the gamblers here in Las Vegas, they don't fool around. They actually bet big money as to how they feel on the outcome of a fight. And the fight, as of yesterday, was less than 2-1. Pacquiao the favorite. And the odds keep coming down. And probably by fight time, it'll be a pick'em, even money fight. Now, that says volume. That is no nonsense, because we all say, hey, one guy is going to win, the other guy is going to win. But the people who are in the business, who put up the money, these aren't guys coming in betting $10, $15. These are guys betting thousands of dollars at the window. It's not a joke. So with the people that have a really good idea as to who's going to win and lose, this is sort of a pick'em fight. That is, I think, accurate.
It's funny because the first fight, which a lot of people had justifiably questioned the decision, the second fight was actually closer than the first fight. So
that is correct.
I mean, Pacquiao beat Bradley, in my opinion, worse in the first fight than he did in the second one. So Bradley is clearly starting to pick up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that it's a different Bradley that you're going to see from the first two fights. This Bradley is going to be special, and it's going to be different, and he's going to have a game plan which he didn't have in the first two fights. Now, whether that's enough to beat Manny Pacquiao, I don't know. But it's going to be a really close, exciting fight.
I was reading last week that that Donald Trump owes you $2.5 million.
He swindled me out of $2.5 million.
Are you ever going to get that back, Bob?
Of course not. Of course not. You know, Donald Trump, I didn't sue him at the time. Dan Duva, the late Dan Duva, was my partner. So, really, I'm only entitled to half of that money. But we decided to let it go. And not to go to litigation. And listen, it's over 25 years ago. So the statute of limitations has sort of run on that. But it hasn't run on my memory. I mean, Donald Trump is a bad person. Donald Trump is a danger to this country. And I have to applaud the people of Texas who saw through that and turned their thumbs down on him in the Republican primary about a month ago.
So I guess you're not voting for Donald Trump, is what
you better believe it. You better believe it.
Bob, how much longer are you going to do this, man?
Why would I stop as long as I got a big mouth and can keep talking and I have fun doing it? And, yeah, I'm not going to stop. I mean, you know, if I was taking blows to the head, and, you know, and it affected me physically, I would stop, but it doesn't, and I enjoy it. Why would you stop? I mean, I can't understand people who want to retire. The only reason you should retire is if you're sick of what you're doing or, you know, God forbid you had something physically wrong with you. Otherwise, why retire?
Last one before we let you go. I saw you're trying to put together a pay-per-view in July with Terrence Crawford. And it's sort of a big jump for Terrence to be headlining a pay-per-view. What went into you guys' decision to put that on pay-per-view?
Well, the decision to put it on pay-per-view is we made a decision in our company that Terrence Crawford is an up-and-coming star. And as an up-and-coming star, our way to build a star is to put him in a pay-per-view show at the top of the show and not make it so that we have to do a tremendous number of buys in order to come out. You look at our track record with De La Hoya, with Mayweather, with Pacquiao. We start them in pay-per-view shows where the goal is not to reach a million homes. The goal is much, much lower. And then you build them, you build them, you build them, and then you make them a star where they could do a million homes. So this pay-per-view with Terrence Crawford is a start. Is a start on his march to superstardom.
Bob, always appreciate the time, sir, and you know, enjoy the fight Saturday.
The no Trump undercard. There's going to be a hell of a. You know, I love Texas because you know, Houston was one of the places where I started, because when I did the Ali Shivalo fight in Toronto, and then we did three fights with Ali outside the country. Judge Roy Hoffeins, who ran the Astrodome, said, come on down to Houston. I'll protect you here. And we did Ali's fight with Cleveland Williams and with Ernie Terrell. So I have a great love. And no baloney. I have a great love for the city of Houston and what Judge Hoffeins and the Astrodome meant for my career.
I'll bring another fight down there.
We will. We just had one a couple of weeks ago with the Baby Bull. Juan Diaz and the start, the first fight of Raul Marquez's son, Arturo Marquez, who I'm happy to say just signed a contract with Top Rank. He's going to be a big, big star like his father was.
Well, Bob, appreciate it, and I know they like you in Houston too. So
that's good.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break. That was Bob Arum. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Pacquiao Bradley 3. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch out with ESPN 97.5 each Friday. John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. All right, if you're a longtime listener to the show, you know that we have Bob Arum on sometimes. Sometimes we have Bob Arum, the different Bob Arum.
We have evil Bob Arum on.
Yeah. But 713 says, I've never heard Bob Arum live, only AJ's impression. AJ's impression is spot on. That's hilarious. It is. It is a terrific impression. But you know by now that we have a little game that we play.
That's right.
We both try to ask something that's going to get him to say something racist. I thought I was going to get there by, you know, what did Manny Pacquiao mean? Because I knew he would bring up Asians.
Yes.
Instead, he just mentioned the Philippine people.
He was a little tame today, I must say.
Yeah, although I think you technically win because...
While not race-related?
It's just that they were... The thing about gays being productive members of society.
Yeah. In case you guys didn't know, that gays are productive members of society.
Yeah.
We all know,
according to
many gay and lesbian people who are very, very productive in society.
That's right. So
many, not all of them,
but many.
Many.
Yeah.
So, and I thought his comments on Donald Trump were classic. So. And I don't know how many of them picked up when I told him how big he was in Houston. It's really not him that's big in Houston. It's the evil Bob Arum. But
evil Bob Arum is a bigger star than him in Houston.
Yeah, probably so. But anyway, and I admit it's just something we do to amuse ourselves whenever we interview him. But I'll give the win to AJ, even though it technically wasn't
race related.
Right, and it wasn't that awful. But that's the most we got out of him today. Yeah. So
sorry, guys.
Check mark for AJ on that one. All right, if you want to text the show, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter. And, I was not aware that apparently somebody at 610, according to Lamont, took J.J. Watt's comments out of context, and it turned into a could J.J. Watt retire early from the NFL story. So I think I'll worry about that when he actually quits.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Shame.
Yeah. Says, I don't know. I think he probably was asked something in the context of a guy like Calvin Johnson and players like that. And I'm sure every one of these guys is thinking about their long-term future. So, sorry, I'm not going to melt down over that. We should talk about your Warriors, though. Although, maybe we'll save that for the top of the next hour. We never did get to the story, but did you see what Scottie Pippen said about the Warriors?
Well, I know he said that the Bulls would sweep
them.
They would sweep them.
Yeah. I think that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I know there's no way to compare these things, but this gets back to the protecting the pass bit, which I just hate. So you have your own legacy. You guys got six titles.
Listen, that Bulls team was fantastic. They're great. So is this team. What everyone points to is the difference in rules and the difference in what was allowed back then and what was allowed now. So who's to say that if the Bulls didn't play in that more physical era, if you moved that Bulls team to play in the current era, who has that advantage? Obviously, if you put the Warriors back there where people are getting hand-checked and thrown around, that puts them at a disadvantage for sure. But if you take that aspect away from the Bulls, does that not give the Warriors an edge?
I think it does, but I don't think under any set of rules they're going to sweep them.
I don't either.
I just don't see that.
Yeah. The Warriors are going to lose four games in a row now. They're just.
David says, "Oh, the irony of a longtime boxing promoter calling someone else a bad guy."
Yeah.
Yeah. well played, sir. And
I'm not going to disagree with him, though.
I agree with that part of it, but. Yeah, that's. I'm sure there's some people have some very similar things to say about Mr. Arum.
Yep.
Nick asked, "Did you see the Bamani Jones Caucasian shirt on Mike and Mike this morning?" I did not see that.
It's like an Indian shirt, except it said Caucasians, and it had that smiling Indian instead of a feather. It had dollar signs coming out of his head.
Okay.
That's
pretty awesome.
ESPN told him to hide it.
I'd wear one of those.
Here it is.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, ESPN was out on that.
But could a white guy wear that shirt?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking. The Lakers team with Shaq only lost to Iverson is better equipped to sweep the Warriors. I don't know. I don't know that anybody is going to – I don't know that you're a single team you could pull out that you tell me is going to sweep the Warriors in a four-game series. Or four games to none in a seven-game series. I just don't say it.
Worst-case scenario, this is the second best team we've seen. And y'all are talking about them getting swept?
Yeah.
Stop it.
832, to say the 95-96 Bulls would sweep the Warriors means the Warriors are worse than those old Utah, Indiana, Seattle, and Knicks teams.
And they're not.
No. Yeah, I don't. I don't think you have to keep protecting your legacy. Your legacy stands on its own.
The past.
If they win six titles, then you can start talking about it.
All right.
But they've won one. But as far as a single season goes, they're playing out of their minds. Although, you know, apparently the meltdown has begun. But we'll get to that a little bit next hour. We'll also just keep seeing what guests we can get. I want to remind you we're at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, where we will be tomorrow as well.
Yep.
And Pacquiao Bradley on Saturday night. I always try to get a sense when we interview these guys of who I'm going to bet on. I'm probably hitting a Bradley ticket.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I think this fight
was closer last time.
I do think this Teddy Atlas factor is big. He looked like a different fighter.
Yeah.
All right. A lot more to go. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5.